Hello, everybody. Welcome, everybody, once again to the Joe's Bot Podcast, episode 14. We got Dr. Romeo Benavides, published author and professor. Welcome. How are you, Dr. Benavides?
Hey, Joe's Bot. I'm doing good, man. I'm just here enjoying my time with my little one. I just had a baby, a week old, so I'm excited about it. I'm spending some time with her, doing some family time, man. That's the number one thing that you want to do is remember that your family comes first, right? You have God, then you have family, then you have work. But awesome. Make sure that you take care of your family. That's one thing that I strive for, and I'm always telling everybody that I'm around, family comes first. You got to take care of them. And that's something I'm doing right now. I'm working with my family, being here with them, just taking care, changing diapers.
Welcome to fatherhood, right? I mean, this isn't your first baby. Am I correct in saying that?
No. This is my third one.
This is your third one. Congratulations, man. Congratulations and enjoy that fatherhood. Dr. Romeo Benavides, published author, professor. Dr. Romeo Benavides, welcome once again to the Joe's Bot Podcast. And we'll start off with, hey, man, how are you enjoying in fatherhood, man?
You know what? It's one of those journeys that it doesn't matter if it's the first one, second one, third one. You know, every single time it's a little bit different, but you enjoy every moment. And one thing that I don't hesitate to always tell my son, he's 17 years old, and I tell him, when you're ready for fatherhood, when you get in there and you become a dad, don't just be that biological father. You take it on and you go full force. I mean, you take it on and you be a man, you know, take care of your
kids. Yeah. There's a lot of those people. There's a lot of those individuals that, you know, like, it's easy to be a dad, but, you know, taking care of your child is very, very important. I'm glad you're stressing that. Hey, are they keeping you up at night?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Every 2 hours, you know, I help out. My wife does. She's breastfeeding, so she does her part. Then, you know, in between, I do the bottle. So we take turns, you know, going in there. And I think it's a fun part. I enjoy it right now. I think, you know, it's important. And some people might say, well, you're waking up in the middle of the night. You know, that's crazy, that kind of stuff. To me, it goes by so fast. It went by so fast with the first two that right. I enjoy it. So I'm not going to complain. I'm going to say, you know, this is what I wanted. It was planned. And, you know, I love it so far. It's been great.
That's awesome, man. You know what, man? It's very difficult being a father and waking up at night and changing the diapers and so forth. And, you know, for some of us, it's like, you take care of it, honey. Nonetheless, man. Nonetheless, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful experience. Congratulations on that, man.
Thank you.
So, is it boy, girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Yeah. Nice.
It's a girl. You know, and it really changes your perspective, man. And you know, when I had my first one, I was 22 years old, the first child that I have, and I was still going through school. You know, still wanted to do that whole let me hang out with my friends type of thing. And you know, but it changes. I mean, as I grow older, you're mature, you know, you start learning different tactics, different things, and you start becoming your father. Right? You start realizing, like, oh, this is why my dad told me to do this that way. You know, and all that cool stuff is coming back. And even though, yeah, I did turn into my dad, you know, I'll be the first one to admit it. But it's a good thing because my dad has taught me, is making sure that family is all, we are always there for them. You know, you take care of them, you take care of each other, and you place God first right there next to them. You know, and I think that's really, really important. And I talk about that in my book, you know, I don't know if you've read it already or not, but, you know, it's a short read. It's really an easy read. My first one, Memorize to Forget and Learn to Remember, that, you know, I bring some of that in there. And I also bring it in my second book as well. You know, I do talk about a little bit about, you know, the religion and faith and leading through faith, because I think that's an important part. You know, part of leadership is you want to be able to serve your constituents, serve the people that you're leading. And it's important to do it in a way where, you know, you're both looking at each other in the same level, you know, because as you know, man, leadership has nothing to do with title, right? It has nothing to do with you being the superintendent or you being the head of the household or whatever it is that you're planning to lead. It has nothing to do with the title. Leadership can come from anyone. You know, it's how people view you, you know, and if people view you as the leader, then that's what you are, man. You're a leader, you know, not take care of it and do your part and manage it and lead with your heart. You know, that's what's important here is know to have that empathy and sympathize, you know, with everybody that's around you. And that EQ is, oh my goodness, you know, take care of that EQ. You know, you got to take care of your emotional intelligence. You know, that's extremely, extremely important as well.
But so let me ask you this question, because you touched base on what on thoughts and lessons from your father. So growing up, man, what was like one of the main
I knew that it wasn't something that just popped up. I knew that I loved reading. I knew that I loved, you know, math. That's why I'm a business professor. You know, math is one of the things that I loved from the very beginning. The problem with me was, as I was growing up, you know, as a teenager, you want to be, there was a battle between leadership in my household, right? It was my dad and I have a strong character. So it was like, who's the man of the house?
Oh, wow.
But you see, the man of the house, my dad played it really, really cool. My dad was, he still is a beast when it comes to parenting. Check this, he tells me, I'm in eighth grade, right? So I said, you know what? I want to drop out of school. I go to my dad and I say, Dad, I'm done with school. You know what? You know, I think everything they're teaching me is dumb. I don't need to learn all this stuff. I already know it. It's boring. Can I just drop out and just start working? I want to make some money. My dad looks straight in the eye and he says, you know what, Junior? He calls me Junior, right? He said, Junior, let's do it. He goes, you want to drop out? Let's drop out. Let's go. He goes with me, goes to my campus, goes to my principal, withdraws me from school. Mm-hmm. And there you go. Now let's start working. Takes me to my uncle. Well, he's not my uncle. He's I kind of see him as an uncle, but he's not. He would run, La Sandia. So he would go to the watermelon farms and he had like the surcos, which is lines of watermelons.
Right, right.
He says, all right, here's your first job. He goes, I'm going to pay you $1 per line. Right. So when you go out there, you see these long lines of black paper where the watermelons had already grown. Right. And they had already picked them up. So he said, you're going to get $1 for each line. So I look around and I see like, I don't know, like 1,000 lines. And I'm like, bam, I got this. I could do probably like $100 a day. Easy.
Right.
So he just stick with a little pin in the front and gives me a bag. He goes, okay, start picking up the black paper. You pick up a row, I give you $1. They wake me up at 6 a.m. I go out there. The first thing that I find out is that black paper was burned from the sun, which means when you grab it and you pick it up, the only thing that comes out is what's in your hand. So I looked, I said, oh, this is going to be a long day. So really I get that, you know, I do mine. I do about 2 of them in the morning. So it gives me $2. Well, I didn't know that you were supposed to take lunch and water. So his wife passes, you know, is in a truck and she drives around selling a taco for $1 and a water for $1. So guess what happened that day?
You didn't get paid. I mean, it offset the cost.
So I lasted about 3 days there before I went back to my dad and I said, Dad,
I'll go back to school.
Going back to school, man. Send me back there. My dad starts laughing. He goes, let's go. Put me back in school. I never look back again.
Oh, man.
Hey, Look at that life lesson. That's something that you don't hear of. My goodness. Who does that? And that's something that my dad has taught me. Is like, he goes, don't go against the grain, man. Go with it.
Yeah.
Go with it. And that's what I've done my whole life, my whole career. You know, everything. When I decided to write my books, I said, well, you know what? I have all this information that I've gained, you know, all this knowledge that I've gained from getting educated, from my experiences that I've done. Right. Why keep them bottled in?
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. That's a huge, huge lesson. And that's why this podcast was actually born. Because interestingly enough, an individual, wise individual who's no longer with us, shared with me that lesson. And that lesson was, you have so much knowledge, yet the moment you leave this earth, you're no longer here on this existent planet. It's not nowhere to be found unless you've shared it.
Right.
So thank you so much for taking this opportunity to go ahead and be a part of this podcast, man. So what was the lesson? Okay, so was the lesson be in school or was there a bigger lesson?
No, the lesson was simple. It was just my dad saying to me, you do what you want, but take care of the consequences are coming. So you want to choose to be out of school? Go for it. But be able to take care of the consequences that come. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he told me. Every choice that you make has a consequence. You know, and I love that because every decision that I make right now, today, even today, I'm always thinking of what's the consequence further on. you know, to this afternoon, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen a year from now? What's going to happen? You know, what are the consequences to my actions? Is what he taught me. And he's taught me that over and over and over. He's never said no to me ever. Mm-hmm. I've come up with some crazy ideas, you know, so when, you know, as when I was getting to my doctorates, you know, come on, I'm dropping out in eighth grade to all of a sudden going, you know what, Dad, I want to get us, I want to join my doctorates, and not just get a doctorate. I was a double major. I was getting a master's, a second master's, an MBA, mm-hmm. business doctorates. Everybody thought I was crazy. You know, they were like, what are you doing? That's insane. Be doing 2 degrees at the same time from a private university. I went right. to the Lake University. They were like, that's insane. I was like, nope, to me, that's something that's very possible. You know, if you talk to some of my coaches and some of my mentors, they'll tell you that I have that type of drive that was instilled in me by my father, which is you run with it. If you believe in it and there's something that you want, that you really like, go with it. No matter what other people say, no matter what the people around you are telling you, if you really feel strong about it, you fight for it and you go for it. You know, and that's something that I tell the students all the time, and that I tell at the college level, because someone will come up to me and they'll say, hey, sir, you know, I really want to, because I teach in the bachelor's program. So I teach their upper levels in the bachelor's. So when they're going on to their master's, they always ask me, do you think I'm capable of doing it?
I'll tell you what. These people that are asking you that question, they never did Sandia work before.
Oh, probably not, man. Probably not. But you know what? What I tell them is, if you're already asking yourself, am I capable of doing something?
Yeah.
You're capable of doing it.
You're capable of doing it. I agree with that's you 100%. It. Yes, sir.
That's it. Yes, sir. I mean, and that's one of the life lessons that he's taught me, and that's something that I've tried to spread to as many people as possible, people that are around me. You know, you've been around me, you know, when we've been training together and everything, and you see my type of motivation to some of that stuff. And to me, it's like, you throw it at me, I'll catch it, and let's run with it.
So what you're referencing is that one time we probably did that what was it called? It was that meeting at the Technovate, right? Or something like that?
Yes. The Palooza, or was it Techno?
Yeah. And I think we planned in about a good 5 days.
About 5 days, yeah, that we took that. And it was fun, man.
It was fun. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that piece of what your dad taught you as a youngster. So, once again, just to reiterate and summarize, what it was is that lesson is, regardless of whatever action you take, you better be ready for the consequences.
That's right.
That's a powerful message right there, man.
Because, you know, there are no real, I mean, you could say, you know, this is a negative impact to some type of action that you took. Right. For example, let's just say I, you know, drive off of in my car and I pass a red light and I get a ticket. What happened? Well, that lesson that you just learned was that you're going to get a ticket if you don't stop in a red light. Guess what's going to happen the next time? You stop at the red light or you stop at the stop sign, whatever it is. But you see, from that negative, you have a negative consequence from something that just happened, but something positive comes out of it. You know, so you got to always think that way. I always think of whatever I did that was wrong, I have to learn from it, dust myself off, right? What type do you have? Your grit has to be intact, has to be strong. You have to be one of those, we have to learn and polish our skills on how to get over the bad consequences and how to move forward by making them positive. Learn from our actions that we've taken. You know, when we start to learn from them, we start seeing how we can convert them into positive outcomes.
Yeah, porque it goes back to that mentality of nothing negative, always positive, staying positive. Absolutely. So moving forward, man. Okay. So you learned that lesson. You grew older. You started going into this whole, at what point did you decide to say, you know what, leadership is where I want to be? Was it that battle between you and dad that you wanted to be head of the household?
You know, it wasn't really that. What I saw was, you know, as I started off in counseling.
Okay.
So I started off in rehab counseling, which is counseling individuals that had drug abuse issues and people that were coming out of jails and they were out on parole and mm-hmm. they had counseling sessions. So that's where I really started my career. You know, so when I started working with them, I started seeing that a lot of these people that I originally viewed as, you know, people that were just having issues, issues or people that were in trouble, man, had some strong leadership skills. So you might think of like, you know what, these people are convicts, or you might think of, you know, people like El Chapo and all these, you know, that go, okay, these are bad people. But hold on, if you really look at them closely, a lot of the skills that they practice were strong leadership skills, you know, and I started going like, okay, so then leadership has nothing to do with being great or not great. It has more to do with your charisma, with how people view you as you know, are you a transformational leader? Are you a transactional leader? Looking at the laissez-faire, right? Looking at Nordhaus, seeing how is it that we categorize our leadership, our leaders. So then that became something super interesting to me. Because before then, I used to see leadership as just somebody positive, right? The president of the United States, the superintendent of the school, the principal, or the CEO of a company. That was what my view was of leadership. I had never really thought about it in that, hey, no, anybody, there's a lot of people that can be leaders and look at their skills. And then I started learning, well, are you a born leader? Or can leadership be taught? Mm-hmm. So then that's when it became really interesting to me when I started looking at different studies. I looked at Ohio and the Michigan study where they really looked at, are you task oriented? Are you person oriented? You know, and what type of leadership goes for which one? You know, what right. type do you have? Which became super interesting to me because then I said, wait a minute. So now there's situational leadership, right? Right. There's leadership style that you use for this over here. There's another type of leadership style that you use for this over here. And when do you coach? When are you direct? You know, all these things started popping up. And to me, it opened my eyes and I started going, wow, I love this stuff. You know, so that's when I decided to look for a different journey. And what happened was I was teaching in special ed and my department head at that time, Dr. Garza, he actually worked for Nikki Rowe. He was in the PhD program. So he would write papers and he would give them to me so I could review them and kind of, you know, look at them. So as I was reading his papers, I was like, oh my goodness, this is gold right here. I would tell him, this is gold right here, man. This is nice what you're learning and what you're doing here. So then I got involved. He's the one that got me into the PhD program. And, you know, the rest is history. I just started buying into it and I loved it. And that's how I ended up writing my first book. You know, and talking about the difference between learning and memorizing, because that's a whole big issue that we have universally, right?
You know, and okay, so I'm gonna pause right here for just a, well, let me interject. I don't want to pause. And what you're talking about, it sounds like sharpening each other, sharpening the saw. In other words, when individuals, you know, regardless of levels, when they are surrounded by each other, they're learning and they're talking the talk. There's an interesting saying that says you got to walk the walk, talk the talk, right? So in essence, individuals who are talking leadership will gravitate towards each other and learn from each other and speak the language. And I think they're learning as opposed to memorizing. Memorizing what you're saying, or what we'll talk about in a bit. When I think of memorizing, I think of, you know what, I need to learn this song because I need to know the lyrics, because at the end of the week, we're going to go ahead and rehearse it. So I memorize it for that one instant, as opposed to, you know what, I'm learning how to write. I'm learning how to understand the intonation. I'm learning how to understand the beats, and, you know, and now I'm learning for the long term. That's the way I understand that whole portion of the differences. So, help me understand how you view memorizing and learning.
It's exactly that. When you look at memorizing is short term. So if you've ever taken, or you've taken plenty of tests, I'm sure, you know, and just think back to those, to one of those exams. It doesn't matter if you were in elementary, if you were in middle school, high school, college, or even when you were doing your certifications for your degree, or for your principalship or teaching, whatever it was. If you think back to any one of those, as soon as you left, all that data that you memorized was gone. If somebody were to sit with you right now and ask you a question that was related to your certification, the odds of you knowing the right answer right now are slim. Mm-hmm. Possible? Yes. Is it probable? No. The probability of you knowing the answers are really low. right? Because you've memorized it. You stored all that data somewhere in your basal ganglia, which is a part of your brain that just takes over the short-term memory or new information that's coming in. Now, in order to turn that into, for it to go into your hippocampus, right, where you store your long-term memory, that's way different. Now you're looking at how can I gain this knowledge and make a connection to it to where I've learned it forever. For example, you can think back to a prayer of some sort where you know it, no matter what happens, or writing about.
I'm gonna give you my prayer right now, and let me see if you know it. Okay, here we go. In 007-373-5963. For those of you that don't know this, Mike Tyson's punch out, the code was 007-373-5963. As a child, I played Nintendo, and one of my favorite games was Mike Tyson's punch out.
I see.
And till this day, I will pull out the code 007-373-5963 because that was the code, the cheat code, to take me straight to Mike Tyson. Even though I lost every single time, I still remember that in my long-term memory.
Yes.
Right? The other one that I know is ABACABB. That was the blood code to Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis.
Mortal Kombat.
Right? So how does this happen? Why does it get ingrained?
Exactly. Those are the connections that you have to make. So, for example, if you were to try to connect your passcode to your phone, to the passcode that you're seeing right now, that would be an easy way to remember it. Why? Because you've made a connection to something that you have already stored in your hippocampus, which is part of your long-term memory. So it's easy to make a connection to something that's long-term already in there. It's harder to make a connection to something you're memorizing because short-term gets lost really quick.
Right.
So that's what happens. When you're something and you're trying, I always tell this to the students, don't try to do the whole flashcards and do all this stuff. You can do that and pass my course. No problem. Anybody can pass my course. You can easily do flashcards and get through it. But you're going to leave my course not learning a single thing. You're going to leave knowing that you have an A for my course, but didn't learn anything. Now you want to learn it. Let's sit down, listen to my recordings, and let's talk about it. Let's make it real. Let's make a connection to you, you know? And when I do that, my students leave there going, wow, this is totally different from what I've learned in courses where it's memorizing. This is learning content.
So let me ask you this. So if you were to go back, if you really, really were interested in watermelons, if you really were interested in learning the business aspect of the watermelon picking and all that, young Romeo Benavides would have probably started talking to the manager of the field or the owner of the field, right?
You know, but it's weird, Joseph, because I've been doing this since I was a kid, you know, and the reason I was doing this since I was a kid, I'll tell you another crazy story, right? The reason I've been doing this as a kid is because I was trained that way even when I was in pre-K.
Interesting.
I was a starter, uh-huh. Right? So what happened was I went to the convent. So I was public, I was in a private school, right? In a Catholic private school.
Right.
El Convento in Rio Grande City. You know, so I first started there, I went there in kindergarten. And in first grade, I was an all Spanish speaker. Well, since it was such a small school, they would send me a group with our special ed group. Right. I was the only Spanish speaker in the class. I wasn't special ed, but they would send me to that teacher. Right. So that teacher would bring me in, and I would do the same things that she would do with our special ed student, with a special ed student, which was she would sit down and open the book and say, okay, you see an apple. Esta manzana es la que usas en la mañana cuando tu mamá te da de almorzar. ¿Qué te da? Ah, me da una manzana. Okay, she would make that connection with me. And okay. She me all through first kindergarten and first grade. So my mind was already ingrained that way because of her. So the story is this, my ex-brother-in-law, his mom passes away. So I'm there in the funeral sitting down with my sister, and in walks his lady, right? And I look and I go, hey, Miss Peterson, holy crap, I I told my sister, I said, I haven't seen her since I was in first grade, kinder. And I said, that's Miss Peterson. She used to be my teacher. And my sister goes, shut the hell up. She was a special ed teacher over there. So she was, and I was like, what? I was in special ed? And she was like, no, you idiot. And she was just taking you in there because that's, you know, that was part of the course that I was taking to be able to learn English.
Right.
So and it was crazy because even to this day, I see that teacher and Miss Peterson. And she knows that I'm a PhD. She knows that I'm a doctor, and she's told me of how proud she is, and you know what, where, how she sees me, and you know, knowing that I was gonna be something that where I was gonna really accomplish something big in education, and because again, that's something that I had learned from a young kid. So if you teach our kindergartners, our first graders, our second graders to learn content and not to memorize content, which is what we do right now, right? Because what do we do? The first thing that we do with our kindergartners, ABCs, say it 1,000 times. You know, with our first graders, write the ABCs 1, 2, 3 with a 10 or 20, like 100 times. You know, all that is part of memorizing.
Right.
What you have to do is start helping them learn how to make a connection to each and every single one of those things that they're learning. When they learn that, you become an adult where you continue to polish that skill. You know, and I think that's where it comes from. It comes from a very young age. And I noticed that as I got older, because I would sit down with other people at the college level and high school, and I would see where they were with flashcards, like bam, 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 trying to learn all this stuff. And I was sitting down reading the book and writing notes next to the book, writing like, you know, if I was trying to remember something, I would write like, oh, Pizza Man, or I would write like Nintendo Hedgehog, you know, something that reminded me of the Hedgehog. Or I would, you know, I was writing notes that people, when they would look at it, it didn't make sense to them. But what I was doing is making connections to what was familiar to me, so right. I could read and learn it.
So for those of you listening out there that are parents, I think one of the biggest takeaways here that we're discussing is, well, you know, how do we get our children to understand and learn? And what we're talking about is bridging the item that you want them to learn to real life scenarios and making them understand that there's a connection. And if, as long as we keep on talking the talk, you know, then long-term our children are going to understand. You know, funny that you mentioned of how you had that connection as a child, you know, and personally, my oldest is 12 years old. And she'll send me a message, a text message, and she'll be like, hey, dad, how's it going? I'm like, hey, babe, how's it going? Everything's good. She goes, yeah. All right. Hey, dad, what's going on with this vaccine story? I don't know, babe. I need you to go back into Google and research it a bit. I go, but I'll tell you what, you know, the stock prices is increasing. What? Okay. let me look at that. So then she'll start looking at, she goes, oh my gosh. I just read that, you know, the U.S. wasn't taking the vaccines, you know, and they didn't want to take them and they didn't want to give them. I said, so do you think the stock price will increase or decrease? What I'm saying here is that the conversation and her understanding long term is going to pay off dividends because we're making those connections real life. We're having those conversations. And if we don't have those, if I was just to ignore my child and tell her, you know what, you do it on your own, learning stops.
That's right. That's right. So what it is this. This is the way I view. I view every individual, every human being as a little seed, right? Yeah. So the seed that you plant, and as you're watering it, you can continue to water it and you water it and water it. But what's important here is to give them some fertilizer, right? So right. When you're making those connections, though, that's a fertilizer that you're throwing in there. And as they grow older and they learn this on their own, they begin to feed themselves, you know, and I'm not talking about feeding themselves as food. I'm talking about feeding themselves academically.
Right.
You know, they start to do that. You can see it come to fruition. So now you're seeing the fruits that have developed. And that's when you start seeing the character of your children. Them being fond of education, them being fond of being treated with respect, and them being fond of wanting to be leaders out in our communities,
right.
Being organized well enough to where they lead and make an impact in our community, not just to line their pockets, but to fulfill the dreams of others. You see, that's where it's important. When we start looking at ourselves, it's not, what am I going to do to make myself feel great? No, it's what am I going to do to make and help others around me feel great, right? Because as we know, true leaders are not the smarter ones in the room, right? True leaders are the ones that help those around them to be the main people, the ones that are growing as to eventually become great leaders themselves.
Hey, but an argument can be made. It doesn't matter who's president. My life continues. My life doesn't change. So what about, so why should I even care about leadership?
Well, let me tell you, we might say that. We might say, you know what, it doesn't matter, but it does matter. Because every single person in an organization matters. Every single person in our government matters. Because every single one of those people have a responsibility. And if that responsibility is dropped, then we have an issue. If we have a president that is eager to make a wall and spend millions of dollars on a wall, then guess what? It's going to happen. And whether he dropped the ball or not, it's going to happen. It's going to have an impact. Remember in the beginning, I said every decision that you make has an impact or has a consequence that we have to live with. Well, that's where that comes in. So, you know, it's just different agendas. I truly don't believe that there's a bad president out there. I don't think there's a bad leader out there. I just think they have different agendas. I think that their agenda, it might not be something that I agree with, might not be something that you agree with, and it might be totally off. I mean, some people can say Hitler had some type of agenda that some people would agree with. I would never agree with that. You know, again, El Chapo, he led a big organization. Some people might say he has something that was contributed to being a great leader. I don't agree with that. But again, it depends. It's up to the eye of the beholder, as they say.
Right, right. And again, perception is vital here. I mean, because that's our own personal reality. So, I mean, you mentioned some of these individuals that are leaders in their own right as well, such as Hitler, El Chapo, et cetera. And you know what?
Bad leader, but
right, right. I mean, if we look at Star Wars, you have the Force and you have the dark side, and you know, you have leaders on both sides. I mean, every side has to have a leader. I think the key here goes back to how well can they motivate, how well can they influence, how well can they create a takeover or an action to fit their agendas.
That's right. And I think what's important, at least for me, what I hold strong, and I urge everybody to do the same, is to make sure that they always have a higher power around them and really focus on that. You know, when I make a decision, I pray on it. And I want to make sure that whatever decision I make is something that's going to benefit others, not just myself. Right. You know, I think that's something that's big. When you're making decisions, you got to make sure that it's not just about you, that it's about the people that are around you, the people that are believing in you and trusting in you, especially if you're connecting leadership with a title. You know, like I said at the beginning, leadership has nothing to do with title, but many times it is part of a title. So when it is part of that title that you do have a strong leader, then you have to make sure that leader has to make sure that they're focused on their constituents, they're focused on their followers, and are really able to serve them, not have them just follow them, but serve them, you know? And I think that's where all of this comes in, is really being able to understand that part of leadership and being able to separate management from that, right? Because management is a whole different ballgame. You know, when we start looking at that, management has, I think it's tougher to be a manager than it is to be a leader. I mean, and to me, can you be both? Yeah, you can be both, but I think it's a tough situation.
It is. Being in leadership, okay, that definitely presents itself tough situations. And a lot of the times you have to have different situational types of leadership in order to overcome them. But, you know, moving forward, man, I really like some of the items that you're talking about. Tell me a little bit more about your books, man. You have two books, Memorize to Forget, Learn to Remember, and Manage with Your Mind, Lead with Your Heart. The most recent one being the latter.
Yes. So, you know, again, when I first started and, you know, putting my thoughts together, I've always been the type that writes things. you know, and so I had a couple of ideas and things that I put down on paper and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, actually this one, the Memorize to Forget and Learn to Remember, originally it was pretty long. I mean, it was about, it was almost 300 pages kind of thing. So it was huge. So when I talked to the publisher, we went back and forth and we said, you know, I told him, I want something that people can sit down and read in one sitting, you know, and he was like, well, how are you going to do that? What are you thinking? And I said, well, summarize all this and put it down to where I just want the main stuff. Do I still have the other one? Yeah, I still do. But when I broke it down, I was able to break it down into 26 pages or so, you know, and this is what I love about it, is that a person can take this and in one sitting, you know, bam, read it, no problem. You know, in one sitting, it'll take you probably an hour and a half to read it, and you'll gain as much as you would have if it would have been 300 pages, because, you know, it's summarized.
Right.
You know, which is really, really neat. When I moved over to my second book, I said, all right, you know, now I can do a little bit more. And we agreed on, you know, being able to write a little bit more and make it a little bit more juicy kind of stuff. So this right. one, this is different. The first one is more of an educational book, how to polish your skills as far as learning how to learn, right? But
right.
this is a business type of book, right? This is more for adults, you know, where they're learning how to distinguish between managers and leaders, you know. And I thought that this was one of the big ones, especially in my field, because, you know, being a principal at a school, being a professor in the business program, and, you know, I think it's important for me to be able to sit down with some of these individuals, my students, my coworkers, and you know, not just teach them, from learn from each other when it comes to leading and managing. Because, you know, I've sat down with plenty of people, and when we sit down, we start talking, you know, we can get rattled up and we start going into like, oh, what is leadership, or what is management, and why is there a difference between both of them, and what is leadership, why can't it just be that, you know, if you have the title, you're the leader, period.
You're right.
But when you start breaking it all down, and, you know, it gets really, really interesting. And I wanted to put it in writing. So if you don't know me and you read my book, you'll understand where I'm coming from and you'll understand what my thoughts are. So like you said, when you pass away, all that goes is gone, right? So right. the only legacy that's left is what you've written, right? That's the only legacy that's left is what you've written. Because other than that, people are going to forget about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that's left. And I hope that, you know, me having spent so much time educating myself, having spent so much time educating others and working with people and leading other individuals, spending so much time doing that. I mean, half of my life I've been doing that, you know, so to me, it's really, really important that, you know, I left something for my family, for my kids, for my kids' kids, for them to understand where their grandpa, their great grandpa is coming from and what his thoughts were. And that's what these are for. It's for my great grandkids, for my grandkids, you know, so they could see what I had in my mind.
It's Romeo Benavides, the family man. It's Romeo Benavides wanting to give his family the best in regards to what's in his mind.
That's
right. Let me ask you this question, man, because I want to go back to some of the items that you spoke about earlier. When you were in the rehab, as a rehab counselor, you were dealing with a lot of individuals who made some wrong choices, poor choices, and they move forward, right? So I want to talk to you about something most recently that occurred in our area. I'm talking about an individual, an 18-year-old who decides to make a bad choice and tackle a referee. What's your thought process on this, and how do you move forward with that child?
You know, to me, it's this. There's consequences to all your actions, right? So it definitely has to be consequences to him. But in order for us to make a judgment on that, we have to understand what his psyche is, right? There's something in our brain that we call the synaptic reaction, right? So there's a synapse and a synaptic reaction. It goes up and down, and there's, you know, it's kind of when you eat chocolate. What happens to you when you eat chocolate? You get hyped up, and you might go do something that you might go... You know, I don't know, take a jog all of a sudden when you would never have done it before.
With a chocolate.
Well, whatever it is, or you might, you know, or if you're drinking beer, your beer slows down your synaptic reaction. So we got to think of the psyche and think what's behind why he did it. So it's hard to make that judgment, right? He was hyped up.
Right. I'm
see where he was hyped up. Now, what's important is for us to be able to teach our children how to react to those situations.
Right.
To learn that when his synaptic reaction is going full blast and he's hyped up, he needs to be able to react appropriately to that.
Right.
Not all of us have been taught that way. Okay. So to me, yes, he's personally responsible for what he did. Now, the consequences, there's a lot that has to be looked at. I think they played it right, kicked them out. I think they kicked out the team. I think they played it right too there, in my opinion, only because if that coach from for the rest of his life, right, that coach would make is going to make sure that he uses that kid as an example. And he's going to for I mean, I don't care how many years he's coaching till he retires. He's always going to remember this and he's going to instill in his students from now on that when something happens, you chill. Right.
Right.
So it's a learning. It's also something that we learn. Now, I don't think that he should be kicked out of college ball and not get scholarships and all that kind of stuff. Well, hold on. I mean, you know, in my opinion, that's taking it way beyond. You don't want to ruin this kid's life. That's not what the purpose of education and having these. It's kind of like cheating. To me, that was I know it was worse because he actually hurt somebody. But in school, even when I was an assistant principal at the high school, I had a kid that went over there and pushed me. You know, and then threatened to knife me with a knife. You know, what did I do? Yeah, I expelled him. I suspended him. But then I also allowed him to walk during graduation, right? Even though I'm the one he threatened, right? Because to me, it's still a life lesson that you're trying to teach these students. And our culture in the Hispanic culture is, yeah, I'm going to get after you. Te voy a dar con la chancla. But at the end, I'm going to hug you and I'm going to tell you that I love you.
Not literally, though.
I know what I'm saying. But,
but in
our culture, in the I think that's something universal, not just in the Hispanic culture, but that we need to learn that, yes, we punish. Yes, we give consequences. But we got to still love each other.
Absolutely. You know, I think you couldn't have said it any better. But, you know, I've gone back to this whole question, this whole scenario, like, This individual's child, he's still a child. And I say he's a child because he's 18 years old. He's a youngin', you know. And what that means is that by the state of Texas, yeah, you're considered an adult. And yes, you will face consequences, you know, in the courtroom setting. However, you're still young, that your life hasn't even begun. You still haven't even graduated high school, right? So I agree with you on the sense that we need to teach them and the kid needs to move forward, you know, but oh man, what is missing? I guess that's the biggest question. And not just for this particular case, I'm talking about in our nation, in our international, is it reform when it comes to rehabilitative services?
I don't think anything's missing. I think that just some people hit the consequence stage.
Uh-huh.
Stages of their life. I hit the consequence stage in eighth grade. That guy hit the consequence stage at 18 years old.
Right.
We all hit it at different. Some people, I have my brother and my sister, they didn't hit the consequence stage till they were in their 20s, you know, till they actually got a DWI and, you know, went to jail or whatever. You see, it doesn't. So some people, it doesn't hit you in the face until later on. So I don't think that anybody failed that student. I don't think he failed himself. I think what just happened was this is his consequence stage.
Right.
He hit the wall and he's like, oops, you know, I just hit it. He could have hit it when he was 14. He could have hit it when he was 16. Unfortunately, he hit it when he was 18.
Let me speak to this. And this is where I was going with this. I just reminded myself. I think the bigger item here is the amount of consequences when it comes to social media and when it comes to that, he's going to be labeled with that for the entire rest of his life. And all the memes, all being viral. I mean, should have known better? Possibly. Who knows? But we're living in an age where everything, I mean, this thing made TMZ, this thing made everything, right?
But Josephette, you can use it to your to his advantage. This is what I'm saying. This is this, everything that you do, you can turn it either negative
right.
or positive. Just think of this scenario. Next year, he can come up to all the high schools and talk about his situation and how important it is to control your anger, to control yourself, to talk, speak public about it.
Right.
Other people, have make your situation be a learning situation for everybody else, to where you go out there to the universities and talk about how you lost the scholarship because of what the situation that happened to you, where you're, you know, going to different youth groups at the church and talk about it. So he can turn this around and make this a positive experience. Now, yes, he got the fame. People know him. Now turn it around and talk about how you're going to make sure that nobody that's around you ever is placed in that situation that you were placed in. You see how easy that is?
Yeah.
But he can easily make this something positive for himself and for others.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up, because again, you're 100% right, where you can definitely flip the script and write your own narrative.
Yeah, that's right.
But the problem is the support. Mm-hmm. Where is the support? Is the support, I mean, starting at home, is the support there?
But we don't know that.
We don't know. No. I'm not just saying just in general. Mm-hmm. You know.
I don't see it that way. I'm not quick to blame parents ever or mm-hmm. blame this home support, because I've seen people that are homeless that have great morals. You know, I've seen people that are adopted by random individuals that have great morals, that have lived with their grandmas, that are great people and great individuals. I don't see that. I think it's teaching our students, ourselves, making ourselves responsible. Me as a coach, me as their principal, me as their teacher, me as just a friend, me as a tutor, me as whoever. You know, when somebody comes across, each take that responsibility to have a positive impact on every single student and teach them and look at their skill level. With him, you should have realized that his skill level was low when it comes to anger issues. We'll work with him there. You know, and don't let it be up to the counselor. Don't let it be up to the principal, to the teacher, to his mom, to his dad, his grandparent. No, let it be up to you. You see, when we start doing that, things change. But as long as we continue to point fingers, just remember, every time you point that finger that way,
there's three come back.
Right. So instead of pointing fingers, we've got to look at ourselves and say, yeah, how can we make an impact on these kids, on these students? And I think that's why I have a lot of students that have called me back after they graduate, that they're in college, and they thank me, they talk to me and that kind of stuff. Because, and even as a principal, I mean, I don't know if you got to speak to some of the kids that went, that would go to different schools that I was their principal at one time. I mean, they'll always say that I treat them with respect. I treat our students, and at the college level, I do the same thing. I treat everybody with respect. You deserve it. Everybody deserves it. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what mistakes you've done. I don't care where you've come from, where you've done, where you've been. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I'm going to make a positive impact in your life because I choose to do so.
Parents, are you listening? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody in general, man. I think you're 100% correct. Respect is something that we all have to give and understand. And you're coming in with a brand new page, a blank page. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you did yesterday. Today is a new day. Todo positivo, nada negativo. We got to do that. Amen. Okay. I got to also add to the point. You mentioned how your spirituality is something that is very, very important in your life. And you know what? I will add to that I've never met a leader who does not have a spiritual background.
Sorry.
Personally. Have you?
You know what? I haven't. I really haven't. And the thing is, the spirituality is, sometimes we tend to connect it with religion, and it's not a connection.
It's not.
Right. So when we speak spirituality, it can be anything. Right. And most people, even if they see their dad or their mom or their grandma or some mentor or somebody as somebody that they look up to and they talk to, that's their spiritual, emotional self, you know, making that connection. So that's why when I say I've never met anybody, I've met people that are not religious that are leaders, but there's always a spiritual connection. Yes, definitely.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Romeo Benavides, what's in the near future for you?
Geez, for me, you know, right now I'm really striving at hopefully one day, you know, first getting my third book together. You know, my third book's, I'm already about halfway. It's going to be more related to family, you know, so I'll have my trilogy. It's what I'm looking at doing. I'm working with my publisher right now. I got about another 2 years to write it. So hopefully I'll be done with that one. Then, you know, work myself up to eventually retiring as a superintendent is something that I strive for. Now, if I get there, great. If I don't, I don't. You know, but it's something that I've tried for. Other than that, you know, academically, I've lived my dream. You know, everything else, family wise, I've lived my dream. You know, I have my beautiful wife, my three children that I love, that I adore, my parents that I communicate with, you know, almost on a daily basis, my brothers and sisters that I communicate almost on a daily basis. You know, so life has really treated me well. You know, and I think I attribute a lot of that to my higher power, like I said, because I do tend to have a positive outlook at life, you know, and I try to as much as I can, even though sometimes things do come up that make you question that, you know, it's always important to remind yourself that there's a reason that everything happens. You know, there's a reason that something's put in front of you, and it's not because you can't handle it, it's because you got to learn from it.
Míralo. Dr. Romeo Benavides, man, thank you so much for coming out here for the Joe's Bud podcast. It's been a pleasure listening to you, hear your perspective on many things, such as leadership, such as life, such as being a father, man. And I think the near future also has some diapers in your future.
Oh, hell yeah. Tons of them. I'm going through about 15 a day right now.
Oh, so, man.
So yeah, it's pretty intense in that whole situation right now. But you know what? I'm loving fatherhood. You know, I'm super happy. I have a 17-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a week-year-old. And, you know, I love it to the max. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything else. I'm a family man. That's what I love. That's what I love about my life. That's what I you know, I would do it 100 times over, you know, because that to me is extremely important. Again, that's something that my father instilled in me and my mother did too. So it's, you know, I have a strong bond when it comes to family. And I think that's important.
I've observed that. Just between you and I, I've observed that, and you know that speaks volumes of you and your family, and that's something that definitely people should take away from, you know, because most recently one of the things that I was you know, viewing, it goes back to some of the items that we value in this lifetime, you know, and some of those items is we always want to have the career, we want to have the car, we want to have the house, we want to have, you know, all material things, you know, and you know, we sometimes lose focus. We sometimes have these blinders where this is all we're focused on. And that can definitely blur your vision when it comes to family, because you're focused on that goal and attaining it. So now you've attained it. Now what?
That's right.
You know, so guys, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. Where can people find you? Do you have any social medias?
Yes, Josbat. Actually, you can find me on my Facebook. So you'll see me on there. You can go through if you go through Amazon, you can actually find my books in there too. So if you just go to Amazon to the search button, you go Dr. Romeo Benavides, you'll find both of my books on there, and it'll have a way to also message me through there. I do have an Instagram, Dr. Romeo Benavides. I have a Twitter, Dr. Romeo Benavides also. So actually in any one of the social media sites, you can find me, but just, you know, go into the search bar and type in Dr. Romeo Benavides. I'm Googleable as well. As they say, if you Google my name, you'll be able to find me there as well. So, you know, I'm pretty easy to find. I'm pretty transparent. I'm not hiding away anywhere. Now once I retire, maybe I'll be hiding somewhere in a mountain, but for now, I'm here, and you know, I'm giving what I can to my community, to those that are willing to hear me out, and those that are willing to follow me along through my journey as an educator and a journey as, you know, as a leader and a family man. I'm here for everyone. And you know, I want to thank you for having me be part of your podcast, Josabat. I think you're doing wonderful things, man. I love them. I watched all 13 of the past, well, except for one. I haven't seen Brenda Garza's. I know her personally too, man. She's awesome. She's fantastic. So I'm excited to see her podcast with you. But other than that, man, I just want to thank you for doing this. And I think that's a wonderful thing that you're doing for our people around the community, because we do want to know each other and we do want to talk more and be able to listen to what we have to say from each other, because we have a lot of great minds, you know, in this community, and sometimes we're hidden, you know, kind of thing. So, man, be safe. God bless. And I thank you for everything that you're doing for us.
Dr. Romeo Bevis, everybody, thank you so much one more time. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you at the next one, man. Have a good one.
You too. See you later.